Oh, shit. Are we already recording? My bad. Welcome back to Can We Fix It? This is the marijuana episode. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Jen, the Vulpinator Douglas. How you doing, lady?
How you doing, girl? I am fantastic.
I'm living the dream, man. I'm back from my two-week vacation for school, and I missed all those little people, so it was like a really nice couple of days. I know. I'm such a softie. I get attached so quickly. We are joined today by our friend and ally, Maggie Kane, to talk about marijuana. Excuse me, cannabis.
Hi, thank you for having me today. I'm so excited.
I am too.
So excited to have you.
So, I mean, one of the elephants in this conversation is... you know, there's some hurdles to marijuana legalization in general, but in Rhode Island particularly, any of you who are familiar with Ann Armstrong, the minister of the Church of Cannabis, you will understand that, like, advocacy is hard because a lot of normal people smoke weed, right? But also a lot of fucking weirdos smoke weed, too.
Yeah, they're not helping the cause.
Right. So we're here to exemplify three fairly normal people who have, you know, who each have their own personal experience and feelings about marijuana. And Maggie, as the guest, would you mind going first and explaining to us, you know, your relationship and what got you started in marijuana advocacy?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. That's a great question. I mean, I have been sort of surrounded by people who use, and I, you know, use the word, you know, I'll just say cannabis, you know, when I talk about marijuana or the flower, any type of use of the, you know, weed, let's say, for, you know, argument's sake. And so I was always surrounded by people who used, you know, cannabis. And in the 80s and 90s, when I was growing up, it was always very, no one really knew about it or they were afraid to talk about it. And then I grew up and went to high school, and like any other, a lot of suburban high school kids, we, you know, smoked weed and then went to college. So it's always just been around my life, right? Mm. And I always appreciated it. I really thought that it brought a lot of benefits to my life from the beginning of it. And also I just really enjoyed it. I liked how it made me feel. And so, and that happens with a lot of, I mean, that's the thing about this whole conversation, right? I mean, and you're going to have to stop me because I just keep talking and talking, because it just, it's sort of this thread, right? Is that you have this experience and it's, you know, it's a positive experience, but it's stigmatized. And so you really begin to see the hypocrisy in so many different things. And I think that that's sort of like it from a political standpoint. Stoners, for lack of a better term, are this untapped resource of voters who know that there's so much bullshit in the political system that they just probably choose to not engage as much, right? I always say that. I'm like, I feel like this is this untapped resource.
It really
is. So anyways, I just feel like there's always been a lot of people that enjoy cannabis, but because of the 80s and 90s, because of the culture of the anti-drug culture, drug wars, the stigmatization, blah, 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 well, everyone got wasted, you know, on alcohol, until everyone sort of woke up and said, oh no, everyone does this. And this is a great plant with all these great benefits to it. So it's just completely changed in this 20 years. So I'm happy to talk about it, because I feel that the more we talk about it, the even further we can go, specifically in Rhode Island, and specifically when we talk about the legalization of it.
Absolutely.
So that's, right?
Absolutely. And first of all, do not ever apologize. We love a guest who can chat. It makes our job very easy.
Seriously, it's our favorite. We love that.
Oh, great. We'll like text each other mid-episode and be like, this is fucking dope. But so one of the things, like, I personally have found that, like, people in my parents' generation and older are so old-timey about it. And I had a relative who has, like, really, really horrible rheumatoid arthritis. And couldn't sleep, couldn't eat, couldn't, you know, do anything. And her son kept saying, like, Mom, try weed, like, just try weed. And she was like, it's illegal. I'm not doing it. It's illegal. And he finally got her to try some tincture in her food, and she slept for like 13 hours. And, and she was like, all right, yeah, no, I'll use this. This helps me. And it, you know, my mom had cancer and was like, it's illegal. And I was like, Mom, you're fucking bald. Like, do you really think that somebody is like gonna rip a joint out of a fucking bald lady's hand? Like, it's pretty clear. But you know, like, I want us to be able to have, you know, as casual a conversation as we can have about something that's, you know, not currently legal. It is decriminalized in Rhode Island. So worst thing you can do is give us a ticket, piggies. And even then, this is all hearsay. All right.
I have my license, so.
Oh, you know. Well, all right, yeah. Fucking way to blow up our spot. No, I'm just playing. My personal experience, like, I have always had anxiety, and I was on prescription anti-anxiety meds for a while, probably like a year, and they were just not, they weren't working for me. I had a son at home, and you know, I wasn't anxious, but I wasn't anything. I didn't have any feelings. I was numb, and it was really upsetting. And my doctor wanted to up me to like a higher kind of anti-anxiety med. And I was like, you know, I think I'm just going to smoke some weed about it. And have been using it to curb my anxiety for many, many years. One of the things that has always bothered me, like, you know, I got a new doctor since then, and she said, you know, do you want a new prescription for lorazepam again? And I said, you know, I really don't. I didn't like it. I didn't like the way it made me feel. I smoke marijuana instead. And she said, well, if you're smoking weed, I'm not giving you a prescription for anti-anxiety meds. And I was like, right. Well, I don't want one. That's kind of the, did you gather that? And she said something along the lines of like, weed will make you lazy and slow. No. And I looked at her and I said, with all due respect, I work two jobs and I'm a single mother raising a toddler. I'm a lot of things, but lazy is not one of them.
And you know, you know what can make you unproductive? Pain can make you unproductive. Anxiety can make you unproductive.
What?
Insomnia can make you unproductive. But you know what can help with all of that? Some weed, if that is what your condition requires.
But
it's really disingenuous
thing.
For these people to say that it will make you lazy. Actually, it gives some people really full lives, and they get their lives back again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I hope we can do in this episode. As we've established in previous Can We Fix It canon, our listenership is like all 60-year-old women. Not really sure what that's about, but our demographics are just like all middle-aged women. So I understand.
That's really rad as hell.
Oh, I bet they fucking are.
This episode.
But here's the thing is like, I want to, you know, ease people who might not be comfortable with this into it. One of the things that we're always told is that weed is a gateway drug. False. Mm-hmm. Alcohol is a motherfucking gateway drug. Alcohol was the first thing I ever tried. Like any other, like, dalliances, you know, went from there, just on a personal level. But I also want to make sure that we're not just talking about medicinally, because like we are talking legalization, which means that this would be recreationalized. And I'll have you know, I practiced that word like 40 times because I always like just stutter over it. I want people to be able to come home and have a joint at the end of the day instead of a beer. Because as we said on the Blake Flippy episode, nobody gets stoned and beats their wife. Like, that's not a thing.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
That's true. Yeah.
People get full of booze and they get enraged or weepy, or, you know, that's when they hit their wives, hit their kids. There's issues with that. They get behind the wheel of a car. It's awful. And, you know, you go home and you smoke a joint and you relax and you watch Netflix and you cook dinner. I mean, there is a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that the United States in particular has made a habit of policing how people get tilted, because, you know, like, that's been happening since the dawn of time. And, you know, cannabis has been, you know, there's evidence of cannabis use, let's say, in Mesopotamia or, you know, BC era. So this plant has been around for forever. But back to the United States, you know, we do police the way what people imbibe due to prejudice and xenophobia. Right. So all the things that so all the pushback to some degree. Now, you know, you can argue that everyone be straight for, you know, whatever reason you feel that way. But
ew, time, oh my God. Say,
oh, you can drink booze or you can have a prescription, because all the things about cannabis, except, you know, smoking it, obviously, is, you know, you in do the, you know, carbon, that whatever that is. But, you know, so you can't, because it's all lies. It is known to be that all the things that they say about cannabis are all based on just lies from one man in particular, you know? So it's almost, you really do have to speak the truth about it, because that's really the only way to get rid of that.
Mm-hmm. So can you explain the xenophobia / racism of like what do you, for those listeners who are casual users or maybe don't use cannabis at all and who mm-hmm. don't understand mm-hmm. what that sentence is, could you explain that a little?
And when in specific, I'll say it, how about, you know, specific, because I sort of said a broad range, but specifically to cannabis or marijuana is, so, you know, let's say in the end of the 1800s, 1900s, you know, they put all types of drugs in different things, you know, codeine, I think some type of opium, you know, they would sell that to the masses. There really wasn't any control on that.
I know. Coca-Cola usage, used to have cocaine in it. I was born in the wrong time. I'm just kidding, guys. I'm just kidding.
Right, exactly. So there were instances of people using, you know, cannabis as a medicinal, you know, for medicinal use. But what happened is that there was a scare about Mexican immigrants, and they were, you know, they use cannabis largely as a population. And so that sort of started this, you know, scare about, and that's when they started using the word marijuana, right? Because that was, I think, you know,
Spanish sounding, scared the white people.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So, you know, there's instances of like that, and obviously, with, you know, any type of marginalized community in the early 1900s. And so what they did was they slowly passed state anti-marijuana laws. And eventually this one man, let's say in the 20s, created this controlled substance list to a degree and put marijuana on that. And then if you fast forward even, you know, to the 1970s with Richard Nixon, he really started the modern day war on drugs, because he really wanted, you know, for his own personal, you know, political reasons, but also for the anti-war, you know, black power, civil rights movement. He really wanted a reason to over-police them. So he started making making more federal drug laws. And then mm-hmm. that rolled over into Ronald Reagan with, you know, the war on drugs. You really start to see the militarization of police units in the United States. And it's always in specifically disproportionately marginalized communities. And then the overpolicing, the incarcerated state, you know, we have more people in jail than any other modern country in the world. So it's really this long, brutal tale. And the whole time, while this is all happening, white people are on the other side of it, still using cannabis, whether they use it medicinally or recreationally, or, you know, and they're barely suffering the consequences. So we've always had this parallel world. And so in that, really, the crossover of that really only began, let's say, in the 1990s. It's a relatively new thing to happen, where it's, and white people, they know that the white population uses more drugs, but they're less likely to be, you know, incarcerated.
Right. Right. And, you know, honestly, now that you're saying, you know, some of the background on this, one of the weirdest.
And it's a poor background. I want everyone to go look it up because it's fascinating, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Just like the, you know. The,
well, so what is Anne Armstrong's partner? Alan, what?
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Gordon. Yes. Gordon. He ran for, lieutenant governor?
Attorney general.
Mm-hmm. And during the debate, somebody said the word marijuana. And he lost his shit. Well, okay, that, hang on. That suggests that,
it was at a high school. Let's make very clear. He was in a school auditorium at a Meet the Candidates Day for children. Let's set this up a little bit for you right now.
Oh, my God.
And, well, and I was going to say, lost his shit isn't fair to say, because that suggests that he had had his shit at some point when he arrived. I'm pretty sure he still wore his made-up robes and brought his, like, fucking shofar and, like, he smokes weed out of that. Do you have any idea how goddamn disrespectful that is? Like, oh, come on, man. Anyway, so, so one of the candidates said something about marijuana, and Alan Gordon lost it and said that using the word marijuana is akin to using the N-word. Except he did not say the N-word. He spelled Did he?
No.
No.
As if people didn't know what he was talking about. He was like, no, I need to spell out the whole word.
Right. He spelled out the word and then stormed out. And I didn't realize that it was such such an offensive thing. But now that I'm hearing the background, I'm like, all right, well, I guess that kind of makes sense. White people are always afraid of, like, tropical sounding or ethnic sounding names. It's like one of the big things that freaks us out.
He is right. Like, I actually understand where Anne and Alan are coming from when they say, don't use the word marijuana, it has racist roots. I get it. They take it a little too far, really, leaning into people
it's
on
not
social
equivalent.
Media.
Right.
Exactly.
It's not the equivalent either. So.
No,
I'm also,
not at all.
I don't know. I've always just called it weed. I'm not one of, I don't.
So let me, no. And this is the deal. He went way over, we can't even put them into a conversation that really can draw any conclusions, right? But it's more about words matter. That, you know, that is something that we all are learning about. So when we talk about weed as a medicinal plant that could be the same way that you would describe chamomile or lavender or any other type of plant that you would use for a medicinal use, it does have this scientific Latin-based name, and the plant is cannabis. So now, don't quote me on this, because I believe that cannabis can apply to either, like, the hemp flower, which does not produce the THC, which THC is the cannabinoid that will get you high, and then just the CBD, you know, the hemp that's used for the CBD. So it's this cannabis plant. So when we use the word cannabis, number one, it doesn't have a racial connotation to it, but also it sort of just takes it back to its roots as this plant. And it takes away sort of the political, racial
meanings behind it, right? Mm-hmm. That are false, that are, right, that don't mean anything either. So we just need to, but it's not like that is going to change everything if people start calling it cannabis. It's just more right. of a term that.
Well, I also think it's safer at this point because, like, in my mom's day, it was dope. Mm-hmm. And my mom, for a while, would be like, oh, you smoke dope. And I would be like, Mom, don't fucking tell people that. That means heroin. Like, don't tell people that your right. daughter smokes dope because then they're going to think that I'm a heroin addict. Do you see how? So, like, right. cannabis probably just keeps us all in the clear anyway.
Yeah. Well, if we were talking... If I wasn't talking about, you know, if we were on this podcast, I would, you know, I would say, hey, I'm going to go get some weed. I wouldn't be like, oh, I'm going to go get some cannabis.
I'm going to go get cannabis
dispensary.
Absolutely.
To go get my sativa flower, you know, which is sort of funny because that's how people can talk about wine. And now, you know, you can go to a store and really talk that way to some degree. So it is.
I will say I have definitely turned into like a fucking marijuana connoisseur. And like,
it's fun.
Well, the thing is, like, 14-year-old me would be like, what the fuck? Like, I used to, my brother used to, you know, smoke me up, and it was dirt and sticks and little rocks right. in it. It was garbage. And the first time I was offered a choice between indica or sativa, I was like, no, thank you. I just want weed. Like, regular kind, like the regular weed. Uh-huh. Because uh-huh. I had only ever smoked fucking garbage. You know what I mean?
Of course, now
I am like, this prissy little bitch that's just like, is it purified though? Because like, I don't want any butane in there because like, I care very deeply. Like, ooh, I don't like the texture of this. I can't, like, it's just, it's deeply tragic.
But again, that's the beauty of having it legalized and controlled and taxed, right? Is that you know what you're going to get. You know what you're going to smoke. You know, when they talk about the vape pens. So whoever is listening, you know, you probably say, oh, well, those, you know, those weed vape pens that caused all those problems with people's lungs. Well, the problem, and no one talked about, is that with the vape cartridges, which is a cannabis derived oil, sometimes they would mix it with vitamin E. So when they would inhale the vitamin E that was heated to the degree that the vape pen, you know, heats the oil, it did cause harm to the lungs, but that was because it was unregulated. So now if you go and you look at packages, it'll say this, you know, has not been mixed with vitamin E. This does not, you know, this does not contain vitamin E.
Right. So that's unadulterated.
Right. Or they mix it with you know, another type, unadulterated. See, I just tripped over that word. So I need to practice that word.
Well, and I mean, obviously getting it from a dispensary has many different perks, but personally, I really like that after I purchase my weed from the dispensary cashier does not then ask me to share some of my weed to roll a joint.
Oh, right, right, right.
And I have to stay until we're done smoking it. So that's like,
no, I've already paid my weed tax. Thank you very much.
Right. So that's like a nice fun part. And like, you don't have to be in like a weird, creepy apartment with like one singular light bulb in the middle. And like the only seating is like milk crates and fucking rolly chairs. Like, yeah, it's like nice to have like a real store. I mean, I imagine it's the difference between buying fucking toilet wine and like a bottle of Moscato, you know?
Right. And they're a lot more reliable, right? The weed stores that are open at regular hours.
They don't say, like, call me back in 7 hours. Oh, God, I do not miss high school. I mean, Mom, I never smoked in high school. That's totally fucked up. I never did that. I love you so much. I'm so sorry. What am I talking about? That bitch doesn't listen to this show. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I mentioned this on the show, but I was talking politics with my mother, like last week, and And she said something along the lines of like she was dying laughing at what I was saying. And she goes, are you this funny on the podcast? Cause I would totally listen if you were this funny. I was like, wow, fuck you. How dare you? Of course I'm this funny. Yeah. So that lady is pretty cold blooded.
Totally. Sounds like it.
Listen, this is why I always like strive, because like I need that lady's approval more than anything. And she does not give it away for free. I will tell you that for damn sure. So let us talk a little bit about the policy end of this, as opposed to just the social and, you know, fun end of this.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of bills going around the proverbial state house, because they're not actually in the state house now, but that are cannabis related. So, I mean, let's start off with like, that's obviously a huge pro, that it's finally, starting to become a more legitimate reality, right? Like we were always begging for marijuana, and now we're begging for the right kind of cannabis legislation, you know? So like that is a positive.
Mm-hmm.
There are obviously still some issues with both the Senate version of the bill and Governor McKee's, oh my God, that was the first time I've ever not called him Governor Dan. It was totally by accident, you guys. I will never do it again.
Look at that.
Look
at you.
Yeah, no, I don't respect the choices he's making. He's Governor Dan. Thank you. So his budget proposal for marijuana. So can you, you know, just give us like a broad explanation of like why they don't quite cut the, like they don't quite meet the standard.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when you look at the different states that have legalized cannabis, you know, not one state has done a perfect job, right?
No.
But, you know, we do have Massachusetts to the north of us. So they've done a pretty decent job. They're not great on the social equity piece of it. So we thought, all right, at least there would be some type of influence, especially considering how much business goes into Massachusetts. So they would definitely want to be competitive in Rhode Island. But more than that, a huge part of legalizing cannabis is about criminal justice reform. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned before, a huge piece of my life was watching, you know, the war on drugs unfold on, you know, Channel 6, 6 p.m. news, right? And you would see, you know, tanks go into people's homes. It was just, you know, what you did see that, and it just never really made sense to me that all this energy, money, you know, really so much harm that was done to these communities about, you know, this plant. So to legalize cannabis, you really do need to address the history of this and really repair the harm that the war on drugs has done to people, especially to people who have been impacted directly by those laws. So, you know, we had hopes that whoever was going to create the bill, because obviously there are some changes, right? We have a new speaker. I would say that was the biggest problem with moving forward. I mean, you know, maybe you have a different opinion since you were sitting right there, but, you know, and plus with COVID, seeing how much money was spent on cannabis in different states, and plus having deficits and being afraid that we wouldn't make enough revenue. So, you know, there have been these different, and plus, you know, people got primaried, and, you know, a very high amount of Rhode Islanders not only consume cannabis, but they also overwhelmingly favor the legalization of it. So, but it is to get that message out that yes, we do need to legalize it, but it has to be more than just taxation and control issue. It really has to, you know, there really does have to be reform. So like automatic expungement, doing a clean sweep, whoever has those powers, so that the people who do have these prior charges, you know, let them, why are they still being punished for these, you know, punitive laws that never made sense to begin with? And now that, you know, you can't get a job, housing, education, child custody, all those are still issues that could potentially follow them 30 years since they were released, right?
Yeah.
So that has to be a huge piece of it. So the automatic expungement piece. You know, it's not a deep dive, but we really do need to properly truly legalize cannabis. You have to take it, marijuana, off the Rhode Island controlled substance list.
Mm-hmm.
Because with these bills, it's still considered a controlled substance. So yes, you can go to the store and, you know, it'll be controlled and taxed and everything will be great. But there are ways that they've created maybe new reasons to over police historically, you know, disproportionately marginalized communities. And I can say from, and it's hard for me to say if it was exactly the Senate or the governor's bill. They both have pros and cons to it, but these are also like just general ideas that the bills need to address specifically. Yeah. So in one of the bills, if you live in an apartment complex, you would have to get written allowance from your landlord to let you consume cannabis in your apartment, which I think is funny because that has never been, in all the apartment buildings I've ever lived in my life, I would never think of that being something that would be even followed, right? But it is a reason for the police to come knocking on your door. And in one of the bills, that even applies to you if you are a medical patient, which is we don't even have enough time to talk about how they've, you know, how what we need to do to protect the patients out there, right? But that is so
discriminatory of people with disabilities and medical issues. Oh my God.
Yes. And it's so they're still finding ways to, you know, control, because they're afraid. I don't know. I laugh to myself because I'm like, they still talk as if people who use weed can't control themselves, right? So they still need, you know, that's still control. It's no one, you know, loses their minds, but like everyone's already lost their mind. That's my point. I'm like, everyone's already lost their mind. So we do need more weed in this world. And then, you know what I mean? It's like the exact opposite.
They have reverse reefer madness.
Reverse reefer madness. So my favorite Mattiello marijuana story is...
Oh my God, yes.
We were at a dinner. He was accused of like not treating the women fairly because a lot of the meetings that he had were in like cigar bars and like places where women were not necessarily super comfortable or welcome. So he like ended up taking like a bunch of us women legislators out to dinner, which was like the weirdest, just weirdest.
Oh, I remember hearing about that. Yeah.
And so we were at the Capitol Grill. He let each of us like talk about one policy issue that how benevolent of him, that we care about in order to like have his ear for a moment. And I just happened to be the last person asked and was like, you know, I've noticed that nobody has really said anything about weed. And I was just curious if that was on anybody's agenda. And this was his response. I'm not going to get it verbatim, but I could if I wanted to. No, I'm just kidding. But he was like, weed is a gateway drug. And, you know, it's absolutely terrible for you. And, you know, if we legalize it, then more people are going to do it. Like, I would never smoke a joint because it's illegal. Like, if you know, what did he say? He said, if you handed me a joint, I wouldn't smoke it because it's illegal. But like, if it were legal and you handed it to me, like, I might have a couple puffs. And I was like, just so we're clear, even if it were legal, I would never hand it to you inside of a Capitol Grill. That's batshit. But I mean, also, like, you're very impressionable, aren't you, young man? And then he said something like, and I would never want my sons to smoke weed. He said, my sons have never smoked weed. And I was like, okay, buddy, that's adorable. They definitely have, but like super cute that you don't think so. And then he said, they'll drink a beer from time to time, but they never do drugs. And at the time, his sons were not 21. And I was like, okay, so it's cool for them to have illegal substances if it's like, it made no sense to me, the line that was drawn. You know what I mean? And he literally, I kept saying he sounded like an old timey, like, 1950s right. FBI agent, like, it's a gateway drug, you see? You gotta put it away or else you're gonna get the reefer madness. Like, that's what it felt like. And I remember, like, looking around at the other people at the table and being like, you fucking believe this guy? And they were all kind of like, meh. Like, even if they didn't agree with him, they didn't care enough to push back on it the way that I did. And so, thank God for all the young up and comers that are in there now that, you know, are like going to fight for the appropriate cannabis legislation. So Yes We Cannabis has been doing amazing work on organizing all this. What's the website so that if people want to hear the non-stonerific version? Like weed and like marijuana and stuff. Like, I have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. We should really prepare more for these, Jen.
You're doing great. I've been saying yes, we cannabis to Maura for a long time, and every time she's like, cannabis, we can wait. Yes.
Girl, do you have any idea how hard it was for me to spell cannabis? Because it's illegal, so my phone doesn't have it in its word bank. And I was like, is it an A? Is it a U? Is it an O? I don't know. Can I just say weed? Yes, we weed. No, that's not right.
No. So we do have a website, and it's Yes We Cannabis, CANNABISRI.com. So Yes We Cannabis RI.com. We're on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So and really what we're doing is we're this coalition of these wonderful people. I'm so happy I got to know them. You know, some people I've been working with for a couple of years with the legalization, but then, you know, it's this coalition. So we're coming from all these different angles, and we've really brought in the really great lawyers and people who have been impacted directly by the drug laws. So we are, so as a coalition, we've decided to focus on mainly the automatic expungement, removing marijuana from the controlled substance list, but then also making sure, because right now, so you'll appreciate this, if you have a prior conviction, you can't be a part of the medicinal cannabis industry, but also in these bills, you would not be able to participate in the recreational either. So,
right. Why would you? Why would we let you?
Right. And that's punish you even more for participating and building an industry that now we're all making billions off of, but you're not allowed to. Plus, you're going to have your prior conviction still there. So, it doesn't make any sense, right? So that's another piece of it. Then also another piece of it is making sure that a good portion of the revenue is earmarked for spending, specifically reinvesting in our communities, especially communities that have been disproportionately impacted by the drug laws, whether it be grants, zero interest loans to people who want to start their own business in the cannabis industry. So this is all on the website. There's a hearing in the Senate Judiciary and of Finance. They're going to combine it on Thursday. So there's ways that you can testify, or if you want to write an email to your senator or the Senate committees that will be hearing that, that's all on the website. YesWeCannabisRI.com.
Awesome.
So, hey, yeah.
So before we go, I would like for us to play Dictator of Weed, Dictators of Weed, and do like a round robin on like, if we were going to craft the bill, what would we have it look like?
Mm.
So as our guest, why don't you start us off?
Well, you know, first I would have, you know, the automatic expungement. I would love if it could just be easy, if the attorney general or the governor could, you know, just use their powers to do a great sweep of these prior conviction, marijuana convictions. Obviously, most important, get it off the controlled substance list. I really do believe that, because I believe in this as a plant for medicinal, spiritual, just everyday, like, dealing with life possibilities are in that plant, right? But also, you know, I would like home grow. We haven't talked about it on the show. The Senate bill does allow home grow. The governor's bill does not allow home grow. I would want that. And, you know, honestly, this other group, I'm going to give them credit. If I was the weed dictator, I would say that we should invest in worker co-ops that are in the cannabis industry, whether it be retail, labs, cultivation, packaging. You know, it's not just weed stores. There are a lot of different ways, different pieces of this. But yeah, I think that co-ops would be, worker co-ops would be awesome. I'm going to say that. And that's the same idea.
You stole mine, because that's something I was really interested in. I wanted to do like a woman owned co-op for cannabis. I thought that would just be a really rad idea. I almost texted it to you the other night and be like, how much do you want to be part of a woman owned cooperative?
Oh my God, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Oh, hell
it just
yeah.
sounded like a really, just a really good, cool concept that I would be behind.
Yeah, oh gosh, that would be so, I mean, and it's really fascinating. If you go on Instagram, the industry and women's participation in the industry, you know, especially women of color, it's really, it's just amazing to see this whole movement. You know, Instagram, it's always, you see it right there in all these pictures. But it's a really thoughtful involvement. So I suggest, you know, for the women's own co-op, and you know, Jen Rourke, she would be right there, you know.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna go with like tyrannical dictator I was gonna say for once, but let's be honest, I'm always such an evil dictator. So I would say that when it comes to giving out marijuana licenses, that's what we're calling them.
Oh my God,
weed licenses. I know that's what happens after you get the weed licenses. You're like, I'm hungry. I think that weed licenses should first be offered to people who served time for weed offenses.
Yes.
I feel like they should get first dibs, because they went to jail over this shit. And now, years later, we've decided like, no, we actually kind of want some too. And like, that is just the most fucked up bullshit ever. And so I feel like anybody who has served time for marijuana related, particularly like distribution sentences, like, yeah, y'all get first dibs on the new dispensaries.
And then on top of that, too, we also need to talk about funding. Because if you want to bring in people in communities that have been marginalized, but they don't have the ability to, I mean, it's expensive, I'm assuming, isn't it, to have the startup for licensing and dispensary and...
I will say that, that the retail license aren't as expensive as the medical ones. In the Senate bill, I think they're like $20,000 a year, which is still a considerable amount of money. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. It's not $500,000 a year, right?
I'll take it. I'll stand corrected. Not bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big difference. That's something that the state could do. And that is one of the things in the bill, is that they say, oh, we'll use the revenue towards, minority-owned businesses' licenses. But no, we want them to... They need the startup capital to start a business, right?
Exactly. The license is no good if you don't have anything to...
The brick and mortar and just the money to keep it afloat. I mean, I will say, and I'm sorry, like, again, but with the medicinal cannabis industry in Rhode Island, they strangled that to death with the lack of how many they opened. And the patients suffered, and the industry suffered, and the cult of, you know, the people who invested in other ways into the industry suffered. So, like, we do have to talk about it as a revenue stream. I know some people don't like that, but it needs to be a healthy economy, right? And there are certain things that you need to do to make it be so, which includes making it competitive.
Well, and also so, on a
right?
you know, like, practical level, okay, one of the things that I think is, you know, keeping the, you know, marijuana or the, it's like, I know I'm not supposed to, and that's all I'm going to say. The weed black market, like, open and available, is that, like, if you are legitimately disabled, if you are on disability, you are only allowed a certain, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, you're only allowed a certain amount of money, period. Like, to your name. And I remember as a rep getting or helping one of my constituents get his license because he was wheelchair bound and it was physically not possible for him to do any of this stuff himself. And the amount of money that they charge annually is outrageous. Like, what other medicine do you every year have to go to your doctor and be like, yep, I still need my Zoloft. Here's, you know, $200. And he's like, yep, you still need your Zoloft. Go pay the state another $50. And that, like, that's bullshit. Like, this person just could not afford that. And it's, I mean, one of the things that we have to be careful of is, you know, getting insane with the taxation. I think that we should be taxing it at a reasonable rate. You know, maybe like liquor and beer and things like that, as opposed to like a pack of cigarettes.
I mean, I think they had it at, I think it ends up being like a 20% tax by the end of it, including the city and town tax, which is what Massachusetts has. But that is a, you know, that is a concern, 100%, because it really has, you know, a lot of problems with that. But it, you know, at the same time, with if I was the weed dictator, I would say that you use that recreational revenue to lessen the tax for medicinal, or even get rid of it, right?
Yeah,
and make sure that there are some. And I think that there are probably advocates for the patients who are trying to make sure that you know, they're protected in these bills, because you know they nickel and dime those patients every year, and plus they always try to do, you know, oh no, home grow, or you've got to, you know, pay this much to have these plants tagged, when you hear their, you know, somebody testify that growing this plant is, it makes them feel like they accomplished something, but they're, you know, and it helps them because they're so ill. What the hell? You know what I mean? Like, are you serious? You're going to take that away? You're going to tax for extra because of that? Like,
think of all our hipster neighbors who are fucking actively like brewing IPAs or some shit in their basement. Okay. If they're not getting fucking regulated, there's no tag on that dude's fucking like wood barrel keg or whatever the fuck it is that those beardy weirdos are putting in there.
Listen, I could talk about
weed literally all day. You know, weed and my kids, like my two favorite things to discuss. Not simultaneously, now that I'm realizing I put those in the same sentence.
They don't mix well.
That didn't sound good. He quit smoking. He hasn't smoked since, you know, he was an infant. It's fine. But we've officially gone through like a full fucking podcast. Just like flew. This happens every time. Like, I'm always genuinely surprised when I'm like, oh shit, we're done. We have to be done now.
Always. Wow. I love it.
Wow.
Is there anything else that you want to plug, Maggie, before we go?
I would just again plug yeswecannabisri.com. Please let your senator and state rep know how you feel, that you really want good legalization bills, and go to our website to get some talking points and follow us on social media. The hearing is on Thursday.
Word.
Woo-hoo!
Jen, you got any new plugs?
I have no new plugs. I just want to back up Maggie's plugs. Get involved, write letters, sign up to testify, anything that you want to do to help encourage a fair and equitable process.
Thank you.
And you're welcome.
As always, we know that I love negging our audience. You heard last week that you get the government that you deserve, right? So, you know, where we are here to help you guys learn how to get involved. But at some point you have to pick up the computer, pick up the phone, do the fucking thing. I'm not here to spoon feed you what's a state senator. All right. You gotta fucking like, you gotta actually start to give a shit about some of this stuff. And I'm talking specifically to a lot of my stoner friends out there who, tune in, religiously because they're my friends and they love me, but maybe have not taken the initiative to get involved or, invested. And,
right.
You know, the world's not going to change unless we change it. So get out there.
It's the only way they're going to act is if they know that they are going to have trouble getting reelected.
Right. Honestly, then they have to.
You know, exactly. And
they're learning
as one person who sees bullshit, I say to all the stoners out there, please, you know, stand up for what you believe in and let your elected officials know how you feel.
Right.
And
bro,
thank you.
It's an email. Right. Okay. On. Like you, let's it's a fucking it. Website. Like you've ordered Fish tickets before or Dave Matthews Band. I don't want to pigeonhole you. I'm just assuming
you. You can do this.
You can do this. You fucking got this, you guys. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Get your fucking vaccine. Okay. None of you are organic. None of you know what goes into your body on any given day. All right. Don't give me this like, I don't know what's in it. I didn't check. Go get your fucking vaccine. All right. Thank you. And be as good of a neighbor as you feel comfortable being. Tune in next week. Aww. And thank you as always. Don't forget to become a patron because we are going to be releasing the bonus half of the Blake Philby episode. So make sure you become a patron to tune in for that.